And having announced that our message tonight will deal with the Macedonian call, it's not hard to discover what our text is then. It's verse 9 of Acts 16. Paul and the others are in Troas, and it's there we read, and an event appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into Asia and into Bithynia to preach the gospel, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were directed by the Holy Spirit to go into Macedonia. We just read that word in verse 9, and then in verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." It was while they were there in Troas that the Apostle Paul was given this vision and heard this call. And as we can see, it was the vision of a man standing praying for someone to come over into Macedonia and help the people there. And this anonymous prayer warrior is typical of many today who are crying to the Lord that the Lord would send someone to minister the word, to preach the gospel unto them. You remember how the Lord spoke to his disciples and challenged them, saying unto them, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray, pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38. The Lord, you see, gave his disciples a vision. A vision of perishing souls, likening them onto the harvest fields. And harvest that was almost past harvesting. But there are few laborers in those fields. Few are harvesting souls for the Master. And so he challenges them to pray for more harvesters, more laborers to be sent forth. And there are those dear prayer warriors today who have taken up this challenge and indeed are praying to that end. For a number of years, we have been praying that the Lord would call young men from our own denomination, call them into full-time service to be laborers in the harvest fields, to be trained in our seminary, that they might go forth to establish churches and preach the gospel somewhere in North America. Well, we rejoice the Lord has been answering those prayers. For now we have a number of young men, 5 in all of our own men, who are entering the seminary to be trained to preach the gospel. And after their training, they'll either be called to a vacant church or they'll go out into the Lord's harvest fields to preach the word and to establish churches where the Lord calls them. That is most encouraging. And so the Lord has been answering prayer for us. And we think also of those faithful servants of the Lord who are already out in full-time service. We think particularly of our missionaries. Our missionaries in Spain, our missionaries in Kenya, our missionaries in Liberia and elsewhere. And they also are praying. And they also are praying. And they're saying in their prayers, Lord, send someone to come over and help us. When you think of it, two missionaries in Liberia. Two. Oh, the charismatics are there. The false cults are there. The Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons. But there needs to be more servants of the Lord go to the lights of Liberia with the true message of the gospel. And the prayer of our missionaries in the mission field is, come over. Come over and help us. Come over into Spain and help us. Come over into Liberia and help us. Come over into Kenya and help us. Come over into the south of Ireland. There's a mission field. 98% Roman Catholic. Some of our brethren left on Friday night, went down to Wicklow in the south of Ireland, right down to the bottom of the south of Ireland, and spent all day yesterday giving out gospel tracts and holding open airs. It's an open mission field. And there are those of the God's people in the south of Ireland, and that's their prayer. Come over and help us. You notice why this group has included Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and now Luke. You notice that it was only the one who received the vision. Only Paul. As we read in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And so it is today, unfortunately. While Paul was the only one receiving this vision from the Lord to go into Macedonia, today so many of God's people do not have a vision for lost souls. It's only the Pauls of this day who have that vision. And have a vision for those who need the Lord. And we've been mentioning Spain, we've been mentioning Liberia, we've been mentioning Kenya, but what about Canada? We have two churches, one in the west and the other in the east. And the pulpits are vacant. And we're praying for someone to come over and help us. We're praying that men will come over and help us and fill these pulpits. Men with a vision for the needs of the people of Canada. The needs of the people in Calgary and the needs of the people in Fredericton. And indeed elsewhere. Come over and help us. That is the great cry of today. But unfortunately, many of God's people don't have a vision of perishing lost souls. You recall one of the miracles the Lord wrought upon a blind man. The Lord Jesus spat upon his eyes and he asked him, he said unto him, if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands on his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And you know, sometimes I think that were like that man as his sight began to be restored. He had sight because the Lord said to him, look up. So he had some sight. And the Lord, of course, could have given him, as he did on other occasions, could have given him his full sight immediately. But the Lord chose on this occasion to give him partial sight. And sometimes I think we're like that man who, when he looked up, he saw men as trees walking. And it was only when the Lord touched his eyes that he could see men clearly. And many times when we look at the hundreds of people that we see in the malls and in the stores and in the supermarkets, how many times do we look upon them and look into their faces and see men and women who are burdened down with sin and men and women with souls who need to be saved? The vision. A vision for lost souls. And only Paul was given the vision. And so if our vision is impaired, and we see men as trees walking, as it were, then we need to pray, Lord, touch my eyes. As thou didst touch the eyes of this man. Touch my eyes. Because if the Lord said to us, dost thou see aught? What would we tell him? What would we say? This man said, I see men as trees walking. Surely we have to admit to the Lord, that's what we see too. We don't see men with souls that are perishing and going to hell. We cannot see those souls as lost and dying in their sin and only a heartbeat away from eternity. Then we need to say, Lord, put thy hand on my eyes that I might see every man clearly. So Paul was given a vision. Let us pray, Lord, open thy my eyes and let me see. Let us pray, Lord, open thou mine eyes and let me see and let me hear that cry for help. And give me grace to respond to that cry. I want you to notice, first of all, regarding this Macedonian call, notice the request. The text declares, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. There's the request. In this vision or revelation given to Paul, Paul heard this cry for help. And we were walking down our street, or any street, and we heard a child cry for help. Or we heard a woman cry out for help, we would surely stop and listen. We would surely endeavor to go to the aid of that individual. Because we would know and we would recognize it first of all as a desperate cry for help. Because that's what Paul heard. Paul heard that day and that vision or that night. He heard a cry. It was a desperate cry for help. Over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And there we read in verse 22. The man, the father, with his lunatic son, and how the devil tried to destroy this man's son. Then in verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And the Lord Jesus, that is, asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. It's the same word. And so you can see just how desperate that cry for help is. You can imagine this father, as he saw, was able to see what the devil was doing to his son, casting him into the fire, casting him into the water to destroy him. And here's this father, and he's crying out for help. It's desperate. This is a cry of desperation. Likewise, the cry that Paul heard was a cry of desperation. This call for help. And in this world today, there are many cries for help. But we ask ourselves, is anyone listening? Are too many people passing by on the other side? There are people in Kenya. They're crying for help. Come over and help us. People in Spain, and they're saying, come over and help us. People in Liberia, that strife-torn land. And their cry is the same. Come over and help us. And the same cry goes up in our own land here of Canada. Throughout North America, once again, requests come in all the time. One family here, one family there. Could you send somebody to come and preach to us? We have nobody. We have nowhere to go. The churches in our area are not worth attending. There's no preaching. There's no preaching of Christ. Could you send someone to help us? We hear it all the time. The requests come all the time. There's no one to go. There's no one to send. It's a desperate cry. We're praying in our churches and in our congregations that more young men will hear the cry and will see and receive the vision. And they'll hear those words, come over and help us. And some young man will say, here am I, send me. That's what we want and that's what we need. We need to pray to that end. We thank the Lord for the young men who are already there and they will be entering this September. We praise the Lord for answering prayer. Because for long enough, it was all outside students that were being trained in our seminary. But now we have five of our own from our own congregations. Praise the Lord. And that once again reminds us the Lord's not finished with us. If the Lord has called men into the free church ministry, that tells us that the Lord's hand is upon the church and the Lord is going to spread the witness. He's not finished with us. There's still a work for us to do. So as there are people in desperate need, so the cry is desperate also. You notice it's a defining cry. It's defined there in that word help. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Now in this modern day society, we hear so much on the news about people needing help and people crying help. And really it's government handouts they're asking for. We hear it over and over. So how did Paul define this cry for help? Was it some kind of social assistance? Is that how he understood this cry for help? No. Look there at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The cry for help involved the preaching of the gospel. That was the help they were wanting. They weren't interested in any kind of temporal help or physical help. They were interested in help to do with their souls and to do with eternity. Come over and help us. And Paul and the others went over assuredly, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. That's the help they wanted. The help needed was to be found of Jesus Christ. For what is the gospel able to do for those who need help? The gospel is able to raise those who are drowning in their sin. That's what the gospel is able to do. The gospel is able to redeem those who are dying in their sin. The gospel is able to reach those who are right down and out in their sin. The gospel is able to rescue those who are about to be doomed and damned because of their sin. That's the help the gospel can give. I remember that night we went down to the Capitol Theatre to protest Jesus Christ Superstar. Oh, we had all kinds of people came and got into our faces and had things to say, some of them not too kind. I remember one person coming and right up into my face and said, "What are you doing for the people of Port Hope? What are you doing?" And of course they were thinking about some social program. Well, I was able to tell them what I'm doing for the people of Port Hope is what I was called to do, and that was to preach the gospel. The people of Port Hope need help. And they will find that help in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fear not him that can destroy the body, but rather fear him who is able to destroy body and soul in hell. And the greatest need that people have today is the need relating to their souls. And God has called us to preach the gospel to the needy. And while people may not recognize it or acknowledge it, that's the help that they need. And that's their greatest need, this side of the grave, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you think, what a different time this would be. What difference there would be in homes and in families if they heard the gospel and were received the Christ of the gospel, what a change there would be in their homes. And my, what help they would receive from the Lord Jesus. That's how it's going. Others went to them. And that's why the Lord said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel. And then, as Paul told the believers at Rome, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Come over and help us, was the word that came to Paul in that vision at night. Quest. Secondly, notice the response. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. There's the response. Upon receiving this request, you'll notice that Paul and Luke, and Silas and Timothy didn't waste any time. Again, if we take the illustration, you were passing by a house and there was smoke coming out of the windows, and you heard someone in that house cry for help. I don't think now, if you have any conscience at all, that you would go about your business and completely ignore the cry for help. We would surely do our best to get that person out of that burning house. And if we couldn't do it, we would be on our cell phone dialing 911. We would respond to that cry for help. And surely we would do it immediately. Wouldn't be much point saying, well, hours and see what happens, see if the house burns down or not. No, we hear the cry for help, we would respond immediately. Paul, of course, could not afford to tarry any longer in Troas. For the people of Macedonia needed him. The people of Macedonia were perishing in their sins. The people of Macedonia needed the gospel. They needed to be told about Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. And so that's why he responded immediately. Someone gets into trouble. Let's say at sea, or he falls into a river and he's drowning. We're passing by that river and we hear the cries for help. Wouldn't we respond immediately? Do all we could to get that person out of that drowning situation. That's how Paul saw this vision. That's how he responded to it. Immediately, we endeavored to go over into Macedonia. And when we know of souls perishing in their sin, perishing, drowning in their sin, should we not then respond immediately? Could a mariner sit idle? if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patient die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion where the world around is damned? There's solemn words and solemn thoughts. We know that when there is the 911 call and it goes out, whether it's a burning house or a car accident, fire, ambulance, and police will arrive on the scene. And the person who gets there first is described as a first responder. Maybe the firefighters, maybe the police, maybe an ambulance. Whoever gets there first, they're the first responders. That's how they're described. That's what they're called. First responders. So when this cry came from Macedonia, come over and help us, a cry for help, Paul and those who were with him were first responders. Because they were the first ones to take the gospel into Macedonia and into Europe. And we ought to thank the Lord that Paul and the others responded the way they did. Because the gospel was brought into Europe, and the gospel was brought to us, brought to North America. Because men responded to the cry for help. So we have the request, then there's a response, and then we notice their readiness. Once again, look at those words. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. They responded immediately. And the fact that they endeavored to go demonstrates their readiness to go. In other words, Paul felt compelled to go. He felt compelled to go and help. Didn't matter about the distance. Didn't matter about any dangers that there may be in the journey. Didn't matter about the direction. Wherever the Lord had called Paul. And on this occasion, he was called to go to Macedonia. And immediately, we endeavored to go. Take that word, endeavored. It is the Greek word, zeto. It is translated in a number of different ways. Endeavored. Matthew 7 and verses 7 and 8. The word there is translated seek and seeking. We are to seek the Lord. In Matthew 7 verse 7, ask and ye shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. We know how the Lord told the story of the woman had lost a piece of silver, and she searched the house until she found it. She was not going to give up until she found the piece of silver. She was seeking and she went on seeking. Nothing was going to hinder her, stand in her way. Finding this piece of silver. Here the Lord uses the same word. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. It's a word that speaks of determination. And so here was Paul. He has been called to go into Macedonia, come over and help us. And here's Paul, and he's seeking to find a way to get to Macedonia. You see from your map that to get to Macedonia, he wouldn't be going overland. He had to seek a way into Macedonia and into Philippi. He had to cross water from Troas to Neapolis to Philippi. So it wasn't easy. It wasn't, as we would say, just round the corner. So he sought a way to get to Macedonia. So the word in Matthew 7 and verses 7 and 8 is translated seek. And evidently Paul and the others set about finding a way to go to Macedonia. The word is also rendered in Matthew 12, verse 46 and 47, and there it's rendered desire. Desire. Once again, we're thinking about Paul's readiness. And he was ready because he would seek a way to get there. Nothing was going to stand in his way. He's going to get there. Just a matter of finding out, how do I get there? And you notice also then, the same word means desire. Endeavor. Desire. And so Paul desired to go. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Matthew 12 and verse 46. And one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. You see, they couldn't get in to speak with the Lord Jesus because of the crowd. But they were desiring, they were endeavoring, they were seeking a way in that they might speak to the Lord. Same word is found in Acts 9 and verse 11. Verse 11 says, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And there the word endeavor is translated inquire. Inquire in the house of Judas for a man called Saul. Now you bring all those meanings together, and of course we could go on and multiply the references, but you get the picture, I'm sure. Word endeavor can mean to seek, can mean desire, it can mean inquire. And so Paul sought a way to get to Macedonia. Paul had a desire to go to Macedonia, and here Paul inquires, how can I get to Macedonia? He made inquiries. So when God calls us, we cannot allow anything to stand in our way. Like Paul, we must seek a way. Like Paul, there must be a desire in our hearts to go. Like Paul, we must inquire, how can I get there? How can I fulfill this call of God to me? And Paul wouldn't let anything stand in his way. He would seek a way. He would find a way. And he would go. And immediately we endeavored to go. He didn't tarry. He didn't argue. He didn't make excuses. He didn't build his own barriers. You recall those whom the Lord, who came to the Lord and said they would follow the Lord wherever, whithersoever he would go. But one man says, let me go home first. I bought a yoke of oxen. I need to go home first and try them. I bought a field. I need to go home and look at the field. And so it went on. They all set up their own barriers as to why they couldn't follow the Savior. Paul overcame every difficulty, every obstacle, every barrier. And Paul sets us here this wonderful example as to how we ought to treat the call of God in God's direction. Is the way. And then we find here also the recognition. The recognition. Look there at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. So they recognized this was the call of God. They recognized it. I have heard people give their testimony leading up, or those days leading up to when they responded to the Lord's call and went into full-time service. And they speak of the days leading up to it, when the voice of the Lord was speaking, but they didn't recognize that it was the Lord speaking to them about going out into service. They heard the voice. They heard the word. But as it were, they didn't make the connection. The Lord was speaking to them. You know, believer, when the Lord speaks to us, when the Lord speaks to us through His Word, we would do well to respond to the Word. We would do well to recognize it as a word from the Lord. Peter didn't do that. That night the Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. And it's as if Peter never heard the words of the Lord at all. Lord, I'll go with thee. I'll go with thee into prison. I'll even die with thee. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee. Did you not hear what I said? I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Peter didn't listen. And we know the consequences. And to Peter's denial of Christ led to Peter going out and weeping bitterly. He'd have been better listening to the Lord. So when the Lord speaks to us, we would do well to listen. Recognize it as the word from the Lord to us. Finally, we notice their release. Their release. For we are told that after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Verse 11, therefore loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi. We know that every word in this book is inspired of the Holy Ghost. No word is put in there and is there by chance or by mistake. Every word means something. When you look at that verse 11, we have the word loosing. Therefore, loosing from Troas. This speaks of their departure. In other words, they let go of Troas. They left Troas. They loosed from Troas. And you know that word loosing seems to be a word that sums up the life and ministry of Paul in many ways. Because Paul had a loose hold on material things. Sometimes we can get too tight a grip on material things. And whenever you have a tight grip on material things, it makes it more difficult to follow the Lord. Makes it more difficult to leave all and follow Him. Paul had a loose hold on things. Reading this morning again, my good friend and brother, Dr. Andrew Bonner. Dr. Bonner said in the reading for today, the believer sits loose to all earthly things, ready to ascend like Elijah if the Lord were to send the fiery chariots for him today. The believer sits loose to all earthly things. Paul sat loose to all earthly things, ready to go, always ready to go wherever the Lord called. So, loosing from Troas, whatever was there, left it all behind. Their departure, their direction. Once again, there's a word here that seems to typify Paul's obedience to the Lord. We read in verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came, listen, with a straight course. They passed the island of Samothracia. Next day went to Neapolis and on to Philippi. And they did so with a straight course. No distractions. No deviating from the course the Lord had set out from. We came with a straight course. It's easy, you know, believer, to get distracted. It's easy to wander away into bypath meadow and away from the path the Lord has set out for us. When the Lord calls us to do something, when the Lord commands us to do something, we should take a straight course and go straight to that job the Lord has called us to do. Not turning to the right or to the left. Going with a straight course to do the will of God and to honor His will for us. Their departure, their direction, and their destination. We've already read verse 11, and from thence to Philippi, which is the first or the chief city of that part of Macedonia. They had arrived. It's a wonderful study, this, and a wonderful story, this. As we noted last week, the Holy Spirit's no-go areas. He was not to go into Asia. He was not to go to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit forbid him. there he is in Troas. And he receives this vision. He hears a voice saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And Paul responded immediately. And Paul and the others went with a straight course to Macedonia. Reached his destination. He finished his course. Didn't stop halfway. Didn't get distracted. Didn't deviate from the road the Lord had set out for him. Went with a straight course. Wonderful example. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. And when we hear what might be likened unto the Macedonian call, may we respond immediately. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord God and gracious Father, we bless Thee and praise Thee for Thy goodness, speaking to us and instructing us, showing us the way, how Thou dost deal with us. And O Lord, when we hear Thy voice calling, may we indeed follow Thee. I being in the way, Eliezer said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Certainly Paul was in the way. And how wonderful to read how the Lord led him. Lord, continue to lead us in the way. Give us the grace to respond to Thy word, to Thy voice.